Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 40. In verse 28, have you not known, have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. There is a thing about God that a lot of people have trouble with. If you haven't had trouble with this before, chances are eventually you will. God has a plan that you don't get. You don't understand it. And the reason why you don't understand it is that His understanding is unsearchable. He knows why He is doing the things He is doing. To us, often it makes no sense at all. When that comes around, realize something. In Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, His ways and thoughts are infinitely above our ways and thoughts. I have a pea-sized brain compared to God. He has a universe-sized brain and then some. And so, I'm not going to get it a lot of the time. In John 3:8, the Word of God says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. That means that God is going to bring you into things, bring you into places that you just don't understand. You're going to say to yourself, or maybe you're going to say to God, God, is this really where you want me? Is this really what you have for me? And God's going to say, yep. Just like that. He's going to say, yep. This is where I want you. This is what I have for you. And you're not going to get it. You may not see some of the details in your life, how they even remotely relate to your call. And the reason why you can't see it is because your ways are not His ways and your thoughts are not His thoughts. He knows every point of time simultaneously. You don't know beyond this point, and even this point, we don't really understand all that well. So there's no possible way for us to really get it. That's why it's a walk of faith. A lot of people have trouble with this notion that it's a walk of faith. Because they want to be able to understand things. They want a certain comfort zone. They want answers. I love what Isaiah said when God said, who will go for me? Isaiah said, here I am, send me. What would you say? What would I say? Where do you want me to go? How am I going to get there? What am I going to do? How am I going to pay for this? How long am I going to stay? Where will I stay? You got 50 different questions before you say, okay, I'll think about it. That's not how it works with God. Who's going to go for me? I will. That's all that matters. What matters is God who's sending you. That's it. Don't try to understand the call of God. You will understand what you need to understand. In other words, God's not going to completely leave you in the dark, but you don't have the capacity, none of us do, to be able to take in the whole thing at the same time, to know the end, the outcome. There's a lot of things that if God told you the details of what's coming, you would not want to get into it. But if you don't get into it, God will never be able to work out His perfect plan, both for you and for other people. And so sometimes these challenges come. Don't think of challenges as failures. Don't think of challenges as insurmountable mountains. They're simply tools God uses to build something in you or to cause an effect. And so the challenges aren't even what we understand. We say, okay, this is a problem. I don't have enough money. This is a problem. I don't know what to do. This is a problem. My car broke down. We're constantly seeing problems. God is constantly seeing process. The problem is not a problem. The problem is a process. Understand that. The problem is not a problem. The problem is a process. God is doing something. The problem's not a problem. It's a process. Don't be surprised that you don't understand what God is doing. However, in those times when you don't understand, you must realize in 2 Corinthians 5:18 that all things are from God. In 2 Corinthians 4:15, all things are for your sake. So somehow, whatever it is, it's from God. Somehow, whatever it is, it's for my benefit. I may not understand. Now, here's part of the challenge in that notion. We see this life as the end all. This life is not the end. This life is the beginning. Your life doesn't end in time. Your life doesn't end at all. Because you were given life by the breath of God, which came from the Holy Spirit. That's what made you alive. That's what made you into a living soul. Genesis 2:7. That cannot die because God cannot die. Christ's humanity could die. Christ never died. And so, you're not going to die either. Don't think to yourself, how is this going to benefit me? Some pretty awful things can happen to people. And they say to themselves, why? And God says to them, you'll see. I won't be able to accept that if I think that at the end of my time is the end of my life. Much of what happens now is not for my benefit just in time, but in eternity where my real life begins. This life and what comes after your life in heaven is a continuum. It's one lifetime. And that lifetime doesn't end. The fact that you change your address doesn't mean that your life has ended. It just means you live somewhere else. Yeah, we look at this process as, oh, I'm no longer going to live on earth. I'm dead. No, you're no longer going to live on earth. You're going to continue in the New Jerusalem. You've got a city that's a whole lot nicer than this one. You're moving up. Better zip code for sure. You're moving up. And so you say to yourself, these tough things are happening, and God is saying, you're in a process. That process is necessary. You may not realize this, but the plan for your life, it's God's plan. And it's entirely legitimate because God created you. In Psalm 19:21, there's many plans in a man's heart. You ever have a situation that you were hoping for something, that you were planning something, and it just didn't work out? And then a lot of us have had the experience that later on down the road we say, oh wow, I'm really glad that didn't work out. That was God's plan. That wasn't your plan. There's many plans in a man's heart, but God's counsel, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. That will remain. You can have your plans, that's not sin. You can have your dreams, that's perfectly fine. You can have hopes for your future, and that's all in order. Don't be afraid to have them. I've met believers who are afraid to hope for something because they're not sure if they're going to be right with God in that hope. I've met people who are afraid to make a plan for their family because they're not sure that that plan is in line with God's purpose, with God's will. Don't be afraid of that. That's perfectly in order. If you're mistaken, don't sweat it. Why? God's counsel will stand. Even though you've made your plans, if your plans are not God's plans are the ones that are going to come through. That's to your benefit. People will sometimes say God's not fair. Yeah, absolutely 100% correct. God is nowhere near fair. He doesn't try to be fair. He's always unfair. But think about something. Christ took your sins on himself and he was perfect and sinless. He was not fair. Nothing about God is fair. That's why it's grace. His unfairness is always in your favor. And if you wanted something, if you dream something and you don't get it, then thank God. Because he withholds no good thing from you. That means if he withheld it from you, it was not a good thing. Well, how can that not be a good thing? I was really hoping I would win that lottery. And God's like, you're kidding me, right? You mean no faith? You were hoping for no faith? You were hoping for no reliance on God? You were hoping for easy solutions without trusting me? Is that what you were hoping for? You were hoping for no problems? You were hoping that my tools to develop you in Christ, to conform you to the image of my Son, which will last you for eternity, that you could get rid of that? Is that what you were hoping for? Not really. I was just hoping I could get that big house or big car or pay those bills or something. You know what? There's nothing that you need that God doesn't give. I got news for you. No matter what you got in your bank account, you're already a millionaire. Why do I say that? Because my God will supply all your needs. There's no cost that God can't do. He's God. He invented gold. There's nothing God can't take care of. There's no provision that God cannot give. I wanted that and it didn't come through. Thank God for that. Because if it didn't come through, trust me, you would not have wanted it for long. Then you would have said to yourself, oh, I should have not gone after that one. Have you ever seen that one? Oh, I should not have married that person. I wanted to marry them in the worst way possible. I should not have married that person. I should not have gone for that job. Oh man, that was a mistake. I should not have gone for that job. I should not have moved to that place. It looked good. But I didn't realize this was going to be the end of it. Happens all the time, folks. Young people, don't worry about if you understand God's ways. Don't worry about if you don't get what you think you want. Don't worry about if things aren't going the way that you're hoping. God's got it taken care of. You don't have to worry about it. Yeah, but I was really hoping he would give me that. You know what? Maybe God knew something about it that you didn't. I think everybody who drives a car has experienced this. You wanted to get somewhere fast and all of a sudden you can't go that way. Maybe there's a roadblock or they close off the road for whatever reason. Or even more so, you're running a little late and you're really frustrated about it. This happened to me, I don't know, a few times. I'm sure it happened to a lot of people. You're running a little bit late, you're frustrated about it, you're in the car, you hit a traffic jam, you think, oh, great. And then you see this really bad accident. And you're like, oh my, that could have very easily been me if I was on time. Have you ever had that one happen? I think all of us have at one point or another. Don't worry about it. God has it in control moment by moment. No moment is too big or small to him because God invented and created time. And so it's not like, oh, well, it's just a moment. No, there is no such thing as just a moment in God's mind. It's one moment that is his moment. And the next one is his also. It's like saying, oh, it's just my kid. I have another one. Well, yeah, you may have 100 of them. Well, probably not, but you may have a lot of them. But it's not just your kid. I have another one, and it never will be. It's my kid. It's my moment. It's my you. God is saying, you're mine. There's another one that people have trouble with. Well, it's just me. What am I? What am I worth? What do I do? What do I accomplish? It's just me. Well, let me think. God thought of you. He created you, provided for you. Before the world existed, He already had a plan for you. You're trivial. You're very trivial. You're insignificant. God actually came up and designed you, thought about it, figured it out, how you would look, how tall you'd be, what your personality would be like, what genetics would take place in your body. Oh, He figured all that out, but I'm not that significant. But God had to figure all that out. It was God who had to figure all that out. But you're not significant. Are you kidding me? That's one dumb thought. Of course you are. Of course you have value, you exist. God's the one who put you here. Of course you have value, you exist. Of course you matter, you're here. Don't ever start looking at yourself and the details of your own life to the point where you say, well, I don't matter, look at all that's wrong with me. Yeah, you're a basket case. That's why you're a candidate for grace. God made it so that you would be a basket case. That's why you have an old sin nature. That's why He allowed it, so that He could love you. If you were not pathetic, He couldn't be patient with you. If you were not pathetic, He could not be kind to you. If you were not pathetic, His love could never be revealed. You have an amazing purpose in being pathetic. We all do. None of us is any different. But we don't get that. We look at ourselves and we say, oh man, you know what? Your understanding is not God's understanding. Your ways are not God's ways. Your thoughts are not God's thoughts. You may have thoughts, you may have plans, but you know what? It's God's counsel that stands. It's not my understanding, it's not my plans, it's not what I want, it's not who I want, it's none of that. God's counsel will stand. There is a purpose for every moment of your life, even the lousy ones. Romans 8, 28 and 29, all things work together for good. And we tell ourselves, all things work together for good. That means everything is going to come out the way I want it to be. That's not what it says. For what good? You forgot verse 29 exists? All things work together for good to conform me to the image of God's Son. That's the good. Yes, it's for my sake. Yes, it is from Him. And the outcome is I will be conformed to Christ. And by the way, that's awesome. That's the best kind of good that exists. That's awesome. It's not that everything's going to go well for you. It's not that you're going to all of a sudden out of nowhere become rich. It's not that suddenly your broken down car is going to start working. It's that you're going to have the image of Christ, and none of those things will be problems any longer, although the situations don't necessarily change. You change. And it's not that you're trying to change. You can't change yourself. God changes you. He's using His tools. The plan of God is about you. Realize that. The plan of God is about you. It revolves around your relationship to Christ, and everything that Christ is about is your relationship to Him. And the amazing thing, because God is omnipresent, He can do that with all of us. Yeah, it does revolve around you, and by the way, it revolves around that next person also, because God is omnipresent. God's plan is God's plan for you. Now, in 1 Corinthians 6:19, your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price. And we tend to think to ourselves, it's my life. I need to do so. I need to have so. It's my life. It's my life. God says, no, it's not. It's my life. I own your life. I own you. I made you. I made you alive. I purchased you. After you went into sin, and everybody has, I paid the blood price. I went to the cross. I made you one person with me in Ephesians 2:15 and 16. It's my life. You know what? God, you're not fair. Oh, you're darn right I'm not. Everything I do is for you. Everything I do is in your favor. You didn't go to the cross for me. I went to the cross for you. It's always been about my love for you. And no, that's not fair. I definitely don't think it's fair to me at all, God says, but that's okay, I love you. And I'm okay with not being fair to myself as long as you're getting the benefit. And that's how it works with God. You always get the benefit. It may not always feel like it because God has to do things in our lives to develop us, to train us, to conform us to His image, to get us to grow up. How many kids love discipline? Junior, go sit in the corner. I still think spanking is a good idea, but a lot of people don't agree with it. They now call it violence. Yeah, okay, I understand. Some people get violent instead of actually disciplining, but real discipline, spanking, it's called for in the Bible, and it's real good stuff. But not violence to your kids. That's not what I mean. But imagine if God spanks you. He spanks a lot of people. Imagine if God spanks you. And all of a sudden you say, that doesn't feel too good. And God says, I know. So don't do that again. When does He do that? You enter into sin and all of a sudden you receive what sin brings. And you say, ooh, that's not so good. God says, I know. It's like Jesus said to the woman, caught in adultery, yeah, go and sin no more. That wasn't a pleasant experience when they brought you in front of me to stone you to death. And you needed me to bail you out. And thank God I was here because I did bail you out. I care about you. I love you. Even in your sin, I love you. But I did bail you out. Don't do that again. What did He do? He helped her and He corrected her. Now, sometimes we want God just to help us, but not to correct us. And God says, that's not how it works. I'm trying to conform you into a bride. I can't conform you into a brat. And so I'm going to help you. I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to provide for you. I'll take care of you. I'll do everything you need me to do for you. But I will also teach you and correct you and train you. And if necessary, I'll even spank you. But you're going to come out with the advantage. Now, He knows in Job 23 and verse 9 the path that I take. He may test me, but I'll come out on a good end of that. I'll come out as gold. He may give me challenges, and the challenges will promote me. He may cause you to have to endure things you don't want to endure, and the result is you're going to reign with Him. No matter what takes place in God's plan, you're going to come out ahead. You may not come out ahead today or tomorrow. But remember, it's not just about this lifetime. It's about your lifetime. It doesn't end here. It only starts here. Your final destination will be New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem is pretty spectacular. So don't think to yourself, if you die in Baltimore or Houston or Berlin, that you've ended. You've just begun. Because the bulk of your life is not here. It's in New Jerusalem if you are born again. If you're not born again, you need to be. In Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man, and that means anybody who's received the righteousness of Christ, that comes through salvation. Now, the word good is not in every translation. It should really read the steps of a man. But it's insinuating a man who is saved. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And though he fall, he will not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholds him, get that, the Lord upholds him with his hand. You may feel too weak for the task. You may feel like a basket case. You may feel like you're a mess. And in fact, you are. Why? You're human. You have an old sin nature. God knows you're a mess. He's okay with it. You're God's mess. By the way, don't ever say to yourself, my life is a mess. No. If you're a mess, you're God's mess. He knows how to take care of his messes. So don't even begin to worry about it. It doesn't belong to you. God says when you think that way, mind your own business. It's my mess. God's not one of those people who you go into his house. Have you ever had this happen? Somebody goes into your house and you're not really ready for it and you didn't clean up. Oh, you know, I'm sorry for the mess. I'm so sorry for that mess. Why don't you just say to the person if they look around, mind your own business? Because it's really what's going on, isn't it? I look at my life and I say, my life isn't what it should be. And God says, mind your own business. That's not your business. That's my business. You belong to me. You don't belong to you. Mind your own things. I'll mind mine. Thank you. We don't think that way because we think it's our life, but it's not our life. It's his life. He owns us. Thank God he loves us. But he owns us. He's the one who's in charge of your steps. That's why you never have to worry really about making a good decision. Oh, is this a right decision or a wrong one? You know what? In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6, don't lean on your own understanding. Trust him. And if you trust him, acknowledge him with all your ways. If you acknowledge him, he's going to direct your path. The steps of a man are ordered by the Lord. You want to make sure you're making the right decision? Acknowledge him. God, cause me to make the right decision. That's all you need. Then you have promises working on your behalf. God, cause me to make the right choice. No problem. God will cause you to make the right choice. Don't acknowledge him. Who knows? Acknowledge him. You can't go wrong. Why? You have promises. God's promises can't lie. Oh, it can't be that simple. Why not? Whoever said God has to be complicated? Where's that written? Oh, yeah, I know the religious systems might want to try to make God complicated. God's not complicated. God's the simplest being out there. He's so easy. He loves you. He died for you. If you receive him, you're saved. Simple as that. Too simple. No, it's not. God's plan. God's plan is God's plan. The plan for your life is God's plan. The plan belongs to God. Remember that, young folks. The plan belongs to God. You belong to God. You're a part of the plan. Now, here's the thing about that. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, he makes everything beautiful in its time, and he puts eternity into our hearts so that we could understand what he's doing from the beginning to the end. This plan of God, and in Psalm 33:11, it says God's counsel stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. This plan of God is one plan through all of time. You have a part in that. You have a place in that. He created one plan for all of time. Now remember, all points of time exist simultaneously. That blows people's minds. As Einstein said, there is no difference between the past, present, and future. He said literally, the past, present, and future are a persistently stubborn illusion. There's no difference. They all exist simultaneously. That's why when all the stars were created on the fourth day, you can look out somewhere in the universe and see stars being formed. Why? Because it's still the fourth day. Time's different than we think it is. Realize something. That the whole thing is in fact finished in Hebrews 4:3. But not in a way that would violate your choices, but rather in a way that it's all being formed right now using you incorporating you, allowing you to participate in the formation of God's eternal plan. The first day and the last day are present now. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth is happening right now. It's a part of your experience. Remember, time is not a line being drawn. Time is like a wave washing up on shore. All parts of it come into existence simultaneously. And the fact that in our experience, Christ died 2,000 years ago and the world was created about 6,150 or some odd years ago, that doesn't change anything. That's just the way we experience it. The way it actually is not how we experience it. The same way that an ant and an elephant experience the world differently. Time is different than what we think. It's God's plan. You belong to God. You're part of that plan. As God is creating the plan and making it come into existence, He's doing it with your choices. If you make the wrong choice, the blood of Christ removes that choice. Where does He remove it from? Psalm 103:12, He removes it from time. And so only the right choices that you're making will remain. That's why you don't have to be afraid of being right or not being right. That's why you don't have to be insecure about trying something that you haven't tried before. That's why if God calls you into something you think it's too big for you, don't ever think it's too big for you. It has nothing to do with you. It's God's plan. It's neither big nor small. It's God's plan. You enter in by faith, and faith responses. And you participate in the formation of that plan. If you don't understand it, that's okay. You don't have to understand it, you just have to trust Him. Your life is His. That's the one part regarding God where people have trust issues. If they don't understand, they don't trust. The problem is they can't understand because it's bigger than them. You can trust Him not because you understand. You can trust Him because He loves you. And He proved He loved you when He went to the cross for you. So you don't have to worry about that. Oh, I don't know how it's going to come out. It'll come out perfect. That's how it's going to come out. Oh, but you don't understand. I don't know how, or I did this or whatever. It has nothing to do with anything. How's it going to come out? It's going to come out as God's plan. Amen?
If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen."